This morning we're going to talk about Christ's ultimate sacrifice. Jesus said there is no greater love for a man to lay his life down for his friends. And we are his friends. But we're not just his friends, but we are his bride. The church is his bride. We are his sons. We are, as you have said, that when we were on the cross, we were on his mind. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And hopefully this will be a blessing to you. I'm hoping it will be a blessing to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. If there's anything that has power, it is the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. And there is power in the cross. There is power in his blood. And there's power in his resurrection. And probably more so his resurrection, because death could not hold him. And anyone in Christ is an overcomer. But you have to be in Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And there we go. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And it says this: "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ." You see, Christ was perfect. And in order to be that perfect sacrifice, he had to be without sin. Now, how was that possible that he was without sin and yet was in the flesh? Well, it was the virgin birth. The virgin birth made it possible for him to be that perfect and pure sacrifice. We're actually going to be getting into Exodus a little bit this morning, but just to kind of preview, God told Israel in the land of Egypt, when God instituted the first Passover, that the lamb had to be a male of the first year. In other words, that this lamb had to be the firstborn, or the first fruits. Christ was the first fruits. He was the firstborn. And if you read in Scripture, you'll notice that Christ had half brothers and sisters. He did. And so that would put Christ rightfully as the firstborn, and he indeed was male. And he was without blemish. And because of that, he was able to 100% fully keep the laws and statutes of God. Where we fail, Christ succeeded. We can't keep the law. Now, is that an excuse to sin? God forbid. But where we failed, Christ fulfilled. Christ said, "I've come to fulfill the law, not to destroy it." So Christ is the firstborn, the first fruits, the perfect sacrifice. When they did the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, it said that the person who committed the trespass, their trespasses went in to the innocent animal, and the animal's righteousness went on to the man. Well, that's what happened at Calvary. At the cross, our sins went on Christ. Christ, who knew no sin, our sins went on him, and they were judged. God judged our sin at that cross. And when Christ had said, "It is finished," it was finished. He paid that price in full. Why? So that we may have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you are a whosoever, you can be saved. And everybody here is a whosoever. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, Jesus says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, it's interesting. It says, "but have eternal life." It doesn't say, "will have eternal life." It says, "have eternal life." It almost seems like it is a present tense thing. So when a person gets saved, you have eternal life. And that assurance of eternal life is that you are sealed with that spirit of promise, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that assurance that we have eternal life. Now going into the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5 through 9. I'll explain a little bit as we read on. But it says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, I won't get too much into the symbology of this particular instance, but really quickly, brass is typically a symbol of judgment, and the serpent, you could say, would represent sin. Because who was it that tempted Eve to sin? It was the serpent. It was Satan. So we see that this is a picture. God has shown in the Israelites a picture of what will soon come in the future. That your sin will be judged at the cross. "Cursed is he that hangeth in a tree." And Christ took that curse, so that we may be free from that curse. Amen. And so we see, and by the way, I want to say this too. God told the Israelites, if you behold and look upon it, you'll live. See, I hear people say that we're not under the Old Testament, which is true. We're under New Testament. But we got to keep in mind that people were saved in the Old Testament as if we are saved. So there's no change. The Old Testament prophets and saints had to be saved by faith, as we are saved by faith.
Amen.
Faith through grace.
Amen.
Or grace through faith.
Amen. True.
And you see that this had to be an act of faith. They had to look upon that cross. So, what I want to encourage you today is, when you feel down, look at the cross. Any burdens you have, lay at the foot of the cross. Your sins, Christ took your sins and nailed it to his cross, and God judged it. And therefore, that we are free from the penalty of sin. Now, just because one is born again doesn't mean that we won't sin. Actually, as a matter of fact, you know, when you take, let's take a certain, God says in his word that if any man be born of God, he cannot sin. But let's take that in context. That's not talking about your flesh. That's talking about your new man. Anyone in Christ is a new creature. If you are born again today, you have a new man and a new nature. It's that new man that can't sin. But you're still in this flesh, which means there will be times that you will fall short. And we will fall short till we go home. We will continue to fall short till we go home. And once we go home, we will be like Christ, which means that we will be perfect. But we are not perfect. Even as born-again believers, we are not perfect. No one is. I can make mistakes. I can fall short in sin. I can stumble around when I preach. I can say things that I mean well, but probably isn't biblical. I can mislead people without realizing it. And I'm born again. And so with that, that shows that I'm not perfect. But Christ will work on those things so that when I do go home, I will be perfect. Amen. Now, I'm gonna finish this off with this. Exodus 12:5-13. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and take it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing remain of it until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So in closing, is the blood of Christ applied to the doorposts of your heart? Because that's important. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There is tremendous power in the blood of Christ, and there's tremendous power in the sacrifice that Christ did at the cross. Christ died and became our sin so that we may be free from the penalty of sin, that we may be free to just love and serve him. Amen. With that said, we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray, Lord, that if only one person understands and got it, Lord, then it'll be all worth it. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you did for us at the cross. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for our lives. And Lord, thank you for the big price that you paid, Lord, that we might have eternal life. Father, I pray, Lord, you bless this day. Lord, please bless Michelle B as she goes back home. Keep her safe. Lead her and guide her, Lord, to where you need her to be. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and grace and love. And I lift these things and I pray these things in your name. Amen.